But St. Augustine has a very lovely saying. With the birth of John the Baptist, the days grow shorter. With the birth of Jesus, the days grow longer. He was off a couple of days, but you get the idea. And it's very appropriate because John kept insisting, he, Jesus, must increase, I, John, must decrease. Of course, the birth of John was a little bit unique. Imagine Elizabeth, his mother, barren all her life, and then in her old age, she conceives. And Zechariah, the boy should be named after his father, but now he's named John. So the people knew there was something extraordinary about this birth of John. And they said, what will this child become? And as we know, he became the precursor, the forerunner of Jesus. And I must say, he appears, at least to me, something of an eccentric. A long beard, never cut his beard, never drank wine or any other strong drink, and we find him munching on locusts and wild honey. John can come across as one of those wild-eyed, tent-meeting, Bible-thumping preachers from the deep south yelling, you better repent or else. It's exactly what he's saying. He's saying if you are so filled up with yourself, you will never be able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Well, John was like the best man at a wedding. All the attention was focused on someone else. But John didn't end up very well. You recall maybe in your scripture that Herod, not Herod the Great, but Herod the Tetrarch, had married a woman called Herodias, and it was illegal, immoral wedding. John the Baptist lashed out against Herodias and the king. So the king had John in prison. But the king liked John, and so it was kind of a house arrest type of prison. But Herodias, the wife, was bent on getting revenge. And so the opportunity arrived when King Herod gave a birthday party for himself, and in the large banquet room there were all of the important luminaries of the region. And that's when Herodias' daughter, who was the stepdaughter of Herod, danced the famous dance of the seven veils. And Herod was so beguiled, so entranced and enamored that he made the foolish statement, I'll give you anything you want, even half of my kingdom. And Salome said to her mother, Herodias, what shall I ask for? And Herodias said, the head of John the Baptist. So reluctantly, Herod sends his guards down, and they decapitate John. They put his head on a platter. The platter is brought to the banquet room, given to Salome. Salome gives it to her mother, and Herodias had her day. Well, I saw the head of John the Baptist. I mean, more or less. It's in the silver reliquary in, of all places, Damascus, Syria. Some say the head is in Rome, but really there's much more evidence for it being in Damascus. Now, if you recall, Paul, Saul at the time, was named. He is on his way to Damascus to round up these followers of Jesus, this fledgling Christian community, so that he can bring them back and do away with them. And on the way, he's knocked to the ground. Artists have him falling on the horse, off of a horse. There was no horse. He's knocked to the ground, and a blinding light leaves him partially blind. And the voice, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he's told to get up, go to Damascus, and down the street called Straight to the house of Ananias. And there his eyesight is restored. He is baptized by Ananias, the first bishop of Damascus. Now we find that at Damascus, there was originally, the earliest days of Christendom, a church named in honor of John the Baptist. When the Muslims came in the 8th century, they destroyed the church, but they built on top of it the famous Umayyad Mosque, one of the greatest mosques in Islam. In fact, John Paul II visited that mosque. And I don't know if you've ever been to a mosque or if you've seen pictures, you know there's nothing inside hardly. It's a very vast area which is to be filled up with the worshipers. Well, in that mosque, surprisingly, in the center of the mosque is a fairly large chapel. It looks like a typical Christian shrine in architecture. And therein is the head of John the Baptist. Because the Muslims had great reverence for John because he was a famous prophet. And so, since the 8th century, we still have John's head in the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus. How it got there, I haven't the slightest idea. And if John had a sense of humor, he might say, "Something funny happened to me on the way to heaven." Well, John was a forerunner. We come after. Just as John pointed to Christ, we point to Christ. And people who are wondering about Christ, how can he be seen in the world today? How can I discover Christ in this society? There's only one place. It is in the people in whom he dwells. That's us. We are the flesh and blood answer to where Christ can be found in the world today. Now, my mother once did something that a neighbor disapproved of, and the neighbor was an agnostic. And the neighbor said, "And you're a Catholic too." Kind of a left-handed compliment, see, as though the Catholic should be held by example to a higher standard. And I myself occasionally go as the chaplain for Crystal Cruises. And we have Mass every day, and of course Sunday we have far many more people. And I remember one Sunday we had about 80 people at Mass. And I heard afterwards that people outside who were passing by the Hollywood Theater, that's where the Mass is held, and they were either non-believers or non-practicing believers. But afterward I heard the comment, Why are all those people at a worship service when they're on vacation? There might be something to it. We are the something to it. And so I will close now with another short saying from Augustine, where he contrasts John the Baptist with Jesus. And it's the same contrast that we would have between Jesus and us. So Augustine writes, I listen. He is the one who speaks. I am enlightened. He is the light. I am the ear. He is the word. Amen.